Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
It's Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bob? Why? Well, let me tell you, okay? First off, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use, okay? FanDuel always has these great exclusive offers where you can get juice, win a little more. When you win, you'll get paid fast, no waiting, no BS. And they got a ton of ways to play, man. Spread, money line, over, unders, totals, props, same game, parlays, everything. Live betting. If you get to the show late, it doesn't matter. Just live bet it. They also have the teasingly vague same game parlay plus. I don't think it's a streaming service, but there's only one way to find out. It's by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, promo code SNAPS, and make every moment more this football season. Yo, what up, everyone? Welcome in. October 4th. A brand new episode of Snaps. I'm your host, T-Bob Hebert, joined as always by QB1, the number one quarterback in the SEC record books in a lot of ways, at least for a bit longer. And that is Mr. Aaron Murray. Aaron, what's up, dude?
Doing good. Happy Tuesday to everyone listening. A lot of great news coming out. Big news in my household. I planted two new plants in front of the front door, and we're going to let these things live past 6 months, C-Bob. That's the goal. Can we get past that 6 month mark where they just die because I forget to water them about 2 months in? So big day in the Murray household. We're trying out our green thumbs a little bit.
Yeah. look, man, I'm probably taking the under on 6 months. 6 months is brutal. That's a very long time to consistently remember to do things. But then again, you quarterbacks are
odd. If T-Bot's taking the under, I feel pretty good about...
Okay. Yeah, you got those jokes, dude. Okay.
Uh-huh. With getting the over on there.
I went 9-5 last week, y'all. I don't know why I can't win a best bet, okay? I have no idea. I'm making money overall, and then I'm just blowing all my winnings trying to bet LSU big. I'm a broken human being. I don't know what's up, but guess what? This week's best bets, I'm already looking at the board, Aaron Murray, and let's just say I'm liking it once again. So, yeah, we'll be going all in again this week. Shout out FanDuel Sportsbook app. Download it. Promo code SNAPS. Remember, every Thursday night football game, you get a no sweat bet, same game parlay. Like, it's crazy the amount of awesome promotions that they got. Shout out to the Volume Sports YouTube channel, Papa Cowherd, having us here on the channel. Like, subscribe, and as always, sub to the pod, my friends, if you really want to help us. And Shout out to our friends every day of y'all. There's new people coming in. We got Daniel Dubak in here. Dubik, maybe. We got Bob Rutherford. Yep, it's me, y'all. A Barge, David D, Kirby's Vibes, T Pat Bryant. What's happening, y'all? Yep. Look at this. Yep. This guy's got it. Bryant gets. He says, oh, snap. It's the boys, baby. Let's go. LSU national champs. I got the T Bob effect. T Bob, you betting LSU big this weekend? Let's go. Well, we'll get to whether or not I'm betting LSU this weekend, because the line is one of the oddest parts of LSU-Tennessee matchup. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start in a place where I love to start, and that is College Station. And look, man, sometimes I've never actually seen the Conan movies all the way through. But I'm pretty sure at one point Arnold Schwarzenegger's asked, what is best in life? And it essentially says to defeat your enemies, salt their fields, and hear the lamentations of their women. Basically, misery of your enemies makes you happy. And right now, when I look over at College Station and I see the Aggies with all their blood money, all their oil money, and I see them getting absolutely shithoused by Mississippi State, and then there's headlines about how the boosters are willing to pay buyouts. I mean, it could not put me in a better mood. So let's start with a very simple questionnaire with a complex answer, and that is Jimbo Fisher on the hot seat at Texas A&M right now?
I mean, if I'm him, I want to be mad about it. I mean, you essentially could get fired and win the lottery at the same time. Your $95 million buyout, what's left on that guaranteed contract? Like, that's pretty damn good living. I will gladly get my ass canned and take a nice $95 million paycheck on my way out. So, no, I know there's rumors about those big time boosters in the state of Texas coming together and saying, hey, we will find a way to pay out the $95 million or whatever it is and be done with him. I mean, identical records right now to Sumlin. Sumlin at this point in his career won the next five games. You look at Texas A&M's schedule.
Oh,
best case scenario, probably going to be 4-1. You could make a case for 3-2. So in 5 weeks, at the same point in Sumlin's career, Sumlin is going to have a better record, most likely, than what Jimbo's had through, I believe it's going to be about the first 58 games of his career there at Texas A&M. So not a good look at all for Jimbo, but the recruiting class next year, they're the freshmen this year, they're going to be better next year. So just hold on tight. But no, he's on the hot seat. Yes. I think that going back to your main question, like is the tush getting a little warm? 100%. There is a lot of mixed feelings there in College Station. There's a lot of people wanting to figure out a way to move on from him, but that $95 million that to me is crossing the line in a big way. So I think he's very secure. I do think the recruiting class that they just brought in this year does buy him more time there and as the head coach of the Aggies. So this is a warning, though. If they finish the season off, which we all anticipate them being somewhere in that 7-5 range, and then you have the excuse of just give me one more year, let these talented freshmen develop, for another offseason. If next year is the same thing, and they are a 7-5, 8-4 team, then I think they may consider moving on. But right now, he's fine.
He is fine for now. Look, the $95 million is insane, Aaron. But have you watched Yale practice? Like, I'm not entirely sure how mentally stable the people we are talking about are, that we are dealing with here. And so if anybody is going to pay $95 million to a coach not to work anymore, it may be the people who laughed at a joke about Starkville being a middle of nowhere town that has to watch a mediocre football team that loses all the time. It might be the same group of people that laughed at that joke without any sense of irony for their own lot in life. Look, that said, you're right. Jimbo's key right now is to hold on, right? And I mean, unless you're like me and you'd probably want to get fired and then just take all the money, but his key is to hold on until this class can get a year older. And so the question is, how does he do that? Mark Cumbie in the chat says, just force Jimbo to hire a young OC. And this is fascinating to me for a couple of reasons. First off, this is something that now Jimbo very expertly has started to spin zone himself, right? He's kind of been out there dropping hints about how, oh, this has always been the plan 5 or 6 years in. I kind of hand the reins off. I go more CEO. Okay, timing of it. Very convenient. Secondly, this is normally a massive canary in the coal mine, right? Like the rats fleeing the ship, a sign of things to come. Whenever external pressure is forcing a personnel move on you like that, that's normally a sign that things are about to fall apart. Now, if I want to offer my A&M brethren here a little glimmer of hope, there is a solution to this problem, and there's an example that you can draw from that was not one-to-one, but did happen recently. If Jimbo wants to fix this thing, and look, to be clear, external pressure or not, the coordinator change thing needs to happen. He needs to hire his own Joe Brady, or just go and actually hire Joe Brady. From the Buffalo Bills, currently the quarterback coach. Right now, Jimbo is not unlike Steve Ensminger was at LSU pre-2019, where he's a guy who had decades of offensive experience and play-calling experience, like invaluable resources to draw upon. However, he simply did not understand conceptually the kind of latest cutting-edge offensive theory. He brought in Joe Brady. Him and Joe Brady worked excellently together. We're now seeing that, you know, both parties very responsible for that success. But he taught this old play caller the new ways, and he empowered him to have great success. So, yeah, man, Jimbo needs to do something like that. And as far as getting Brady, he definitely doesn't want to come back to college. You could just throw a ton of money at him. And we all know that no one loves a sunken cost fallacy than as much as Texas A&M does. So hire a young coordinator. Go into more of a CEO role and bridge the gap to this young class getting older, take advantage of these new facilities, and you may survive yet. But it is a wild commentary on how disappointing he has been that even entertaining the idea of a $95 million buyout is legitimate.
Well, I guess it's do you try to buy him out for $95 million, or do you spend the money on a hot shot, especially young offensive coordinator? But it's all well and good that he says that he's willing to give up the reins, but I want to see it, man. Like, you may say one thing, the new OC may come in there. They start changing essentially the language, the rhythm, the schemes, all that stuff. Can Jimbo truly sit back as a person that's been in that role his entire career? Can he truly sit back and take a backseat when it comes to offensive play calling? Like, this is a humbling experience. This is going to be a humbling time. And, you know, it's either put up or shut up and get fired. So I think he will. I think he will see a move this offseason. That is the last essentially hoorah for him. You said it best, T-Bob. Like, when you make a personnel move like this as a coaching staff and you bring in an offensive coordinator, it means that you're pretty darn desperate. Like, it's not like your OC's leaving and going somewhere and you're having to replace them. No, you're actually having to bring someone in to tweak your offense because there are issues on that side. Look at Wisconsin. You know, they did that. They brought in some offensive firepower. It wasn't working. The offense wasn't getting better. Defensively wasn't doing their thing. And as we talked about yesterday, they move on from their head coach. So this is kind of the first step of somewhat easing the transition of Jimbo possibly being on his way out after that 2023 season. So I don't know what the hit's going to be after next year. You know, I think he's getting paid around $9, $10 million a year. Does that number drop to $80 million, which is still outrageous? Like, the fact that we are even talking about next year after 2023, if they do what they're doing right now and are a middle of the pack SEC squad, they're fighting to make a decent bowl game, that you're willing to pay $80 million to get rid of Jimbo. So one thing I will say, applause to Jimbo, applause to his agent, because right now you're in the driver's seat. Jimbo is right now in a spot where he doesn't care. Like, he's going to be making $90 million regardless if you get rid of him today or if you get rid of him in next year, the year after that, or the year after that. Like, he's living the life. Good for him, man. He's stealing money.
Hey, dude.
Living a good life doing it.
Yeah, man. He's got that ranch now in Texas. Mm. I mean, our boy done made it, dude. Should we all be so lucky to one day find ourselves getting paid $80 million not to work? Ooh, man, sounds like music to my ears. So, Jimbo, what's not going to help, like you said, Aaron, the upcoming schedule. And, well, look at this weekend. You have Alabama. Granted, it's an Alabama without Bryce Young, for whatever that is worth. But maybe that's kind of the ultimate commentary on how bad A&M's been this year, is that there is no Bryce Young, and it doesn't feel like Texas A&M has a chance in this game. Because right now, Texas A&M feels like a bad team. Alabama feels like the most complete team in the country. The game is in Tuscaloosa. It's the CBS night game. Oh, and there ain't no need to fight against rat poison this week if you're Nick Saban, because Will Anderson and the boys, they've been waiting on this one for about a year now. So, yeah, Jimbo's in trouble. We're kind of asking the question before the show, Aaron, like, do you think the feud with Nick Saban is a big deal, or is it over? And to me, the fight is now kind of irrelevant because A&M is irrelevant. But if they want to get back here, the golden ticket. They have a golden ticket opportunity, and it does lie this weekend. If against all odds you could somehow go into Tuscaloosa and emerge with a win, you would solve all your problems. 2 years in a row beating Alabama. It would be such a statement, such a stabilization of the process. The problem is I just don't even see how that's possible right now.
Well, I think the worst part too right now, and why fans are considering this drastic move is – It's okay. It's understandable to lose Alabama. Like, we all get it. Like, Alabama's Alabama. Like, Nick Saban and what he's built over his, you know, 15-year career there is the best we've ever seen. But where Jimbo is right now in his tenure there as the head coach of Texas A&M, to be a 24.5-point dog heading into this game, and for A&M fans to see that the nation sees that big of a gap between A&M, who has spent all this money on facilities, who spent all this money on recruits, that spent all this money on Jimbo. Like, you have more recent, I would say A&M has more resources than Alabama. So it's not the fact that you're underdogs. It's not the fact that you're probably going to lose. It's the fact that you're going to lose by 20 plus points. That's a wide gap. That is a gigantic gap.
Yeah,
it's not a touchdown game where you can kind of let that sink in. So that would piss me off. We're paying you $9,500 million to go lose by 3 scores to Alabama. That's a problem.
Well, I mean, so and lose by 3 scores to Mississippi State. You know, and lose at home to App State. It's or was it Georgia Southern? No, it was App State.
No, it was App State.
App State.
Yeah. Thank you there, Brom. I agree, Aaron. Their investment has not paid off. And it's funny because Scott Woodward made that deal at A&M, and then he turned around to LSU and he basically signed a 10-year marriage with Brian Kelly. And Brian Kelly has his own huge game coming up this weekend. Man, and that was such a seamless transition. But before we go any further, Aaron Murray, I do have to talk about something. Don't worry in the chat, Brandon Rhodes. I see you, a little young Jack, but I'm going to get to you in a second. But we got a sponsor here on Snaps, Aaron. Very excited about it. First sponsor, first people to join up with the rogue ship that we're trying to build here, and that is TurtleBox speakers. Look at this thing, dude. This is a Bluetooth speaker right here, bro. Rubber handle, solid casing. This thing is 100% waterproof, dude. The battery, it's got little tie-down metal bars for you to bring it on a cooler or whatever. The battery life on it is incredible. I actually use it as the speaker for my computer in my office when I'm not on headphones in here. And then I just bring it home. And I ride, like, I have this little, like, bike attachment that I ride with my daughters behind my bike. And I just put it in the back of there. This thing is awesome. TurtleBox. If you're, like, going tailgating, anything like that, you need to go ahead and get this. By the way, use the promo code SNAPS. You get $20 off your order as well as free shipping. TurtleBoxAudio.com. TurtleBoxAudio.com. Promo code SNAPS. This thing is freaking sick, dude. Like I said, I've been bringing it everywhere with me. And Aaron Murray, if you get two of these, there's actually a like surround sound mode that will blow your mind. Super easy to sync up. You get left, right speakers. It is awesome. Again, look at Bob Rutherford, Team Snaps. He says, I have that speaker. So he knows what I'm talking about, man. Tell him, Bob. It's like a super high quality product. And then you get the little QR code register. It's awesome. Shout out TurtleBox. So excited to have you here. Oh, last thing. If you got like a favorite team, like red and black for Georgia, purple and gold for LSU, you can get all your pro and college team color combinations. TurtleBoxAudio.com, promo code SNAPS, $20 off and free shipping. How about that? So Brandon Rhodes in the chat says, young Jack Black. Thank you, by the way. He is one of my muses. Sorry, LSU's getting dog walked this weekend. And let's talk about it, Aaron Murray. Is LSU kind of, you know, are they more in danger or are they more dangerous with Tennessee having to go to Death Valley at 11 a.m. this weekend?
Well, I know you, we've talked about this 2 weeks ago when the schedule came out. Like, if this was a night game, I'd feel a lot better if I was an LSU fan. Like, playing there at night, you give those fans the entire day to get T-Bob liquored up, feeling juicy like we are on Snaps on Saturday nights. Then, yeah, that's a hell of an environment. That's intimidating. And you can kind of expect something to what they did versus Mississippi State a few weeks ago, winning that football game. Offense is very similar. You know, Mississippi State wants to spread you out. They want to go up tempo. They want to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. The big difference between the two is, one, the tackles for Mississippi State are awful. Like, if you watch Mississippi State, like one of their very few weaknesses of the football team is they can't protect on the edges. And Bijo Ojulari just completely took off, used the crowd noise to advantage, was able to essentially make Will Rogers extremely uncomfortable the entire game. Tennessee's better on the edges. Tennessee's a better offensive line in general. Tennessee also is committed to the run a little bit more, and not just with Jabari Small, but Hendon Hooker. Will Rogers, hell of a quarterback. Love the guy. One of my top quarterbacks in my rankings this week. But what Hendon does with keeping a defense at bay, of really a defense line not being able to completely teeing off because they know they need to contain him as a runner, is a big issue. So I don't see LSU having as much success like they did versus Mississippi State because Hendon Hooker is a better quarterback. Hendon Hooker is a tremendous runner. I think that's going to disrupt them a little bit. But overall, I think LSU does match up well. Like, you look at what they have on the backside of that defense, those DBs. I think some of the most talented DBs. I love their nickel. I love their safeties. I think they're going to be able to kind of play a little bit more man, add an extra defender in the box to slow down the run and see if they can win some one-on-one battles on the outside. So there is a chance, T-Bob, and even at 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure your Bayou faithful will be rowdy and ready to go to support their team. But right now, Tennessee's just a better football team. Tennessee is a better football team.
Yes, I agree. We got Jungle Boy in the chat saying Tennessee 31, LSU 17. Kirby Visor is saying if LSU can generate pressure and a few sacks, watch out. Bayou Bengals might be cooking up an upset in Death Valley. There is one odd thing. Despite the 11-8, and let's be painfully clear, the kickoff talk is probably a bit outsized in terms of how much you're mentioning it. Are there slight advantages to be gained or lost therein? Sure, right? But I think it's like you said, the scarier part is Hendon Hooker. And like this actual Tennessee team, I don't care what time you have to play these cats, Hendon Hooker's incredible. He's a true dual threat that can also throw the prettiest deep ball in the entire country. And intermediate and whatever. He can throw them all.
And coming off of bye week too.
And coming off a bye week, right? So healthier, locked in, 2 weeks of prep time. LSU has been actually surprisingly good at 11 a.m. If you look here recently, I think it was a big win last year against Florida. They had a huge win, Joe Burrow, in 2018 against a very highly ranked Georgia team that felt kind of similar to this. It was pretty wild, actually. Georgia took over Death Valley. LSU fans did not expect to be able to win. And I think it was like 40,000 or almost like 30,000 Georgia fans ended up in that building that day, but LSU ended up getting it done. That said, if I'm being objective, LSU is in trouble this weekend. I find it very hard, Aaron, and I have a homer argument I can lay out, but I do find it very hard to craft an argument for how I should tell anyone that you should expect LSU to win And let's just look at a thing called recency bias, right? Which you can say, oh, T-Bob, this is a small sample, all that. But how am I supposed to tell you, Aaron, that you should believe in the team that just threw for 5 second half yards against Auburn and allowed Robbie Ashford to throw for 337? Robbie Ashford and his legs and the threat therein went for 337 for it, and he missed a bunch of throws. So you're telling me that now, like, you had multiple coverage busts against that Auburn team. Tennessee generates, it seems like, 5 or 6 coverage busts a game in which Hendon Hooker just finds someone completely wide open. Tennessee averages 7.3 yards per play to LSU's 5.3. Like, I just can't sit there and tell you that that LSU team is going to win.
No. No, and Kirby Visor in the chat says LSU needs Tennessee to essentially turn the ball over and shoot themselves in the foot. The one issue is they don't turn the ball over. You know, Hendon Hooker is one of the most one of the best quarterbacks in all of America of not giving the ball away. He's been that since day one. The guy does not throw interceptions. Watch me right now jinx the absolute crap out of him and him go out there and throw like 3
good. I hope you do, dude. Yeah.
A lot of LSU fans hope that he does, but he doesn't. And the reason why is because he knows he's such a good runner and he's not going to take those chances. If it's not there, he's mature enough at 24 years old to take it, run it, and get what he can get and get down. So that's why he doesn't throw interceptions. My biggest issue right now with LSU, and you talked about it, it's the passing game. But what the hell is up with Kayshon, man? Like, Kayshon is supposed to be the guy. Kayshon's coming out there saying that he's the best receiver LSU's had in the past decade, and he's barely played. And when he's in there, he doesn't seem very interested. Like, he doesn't seem like he wants to be out there playing football. He was given the magic number, which was supposed to, you know, excite him and make him feel like a leader of the football team. And right now, to me, Kayshon is more of a distraction than a benefit. And I'll let you hit on that more, obviously, you being in Baton Rouge and being around the team and kind of watching it up close. But every time I turn on the channel and watch LSU football, I see a guy that's pouting. I see a guy that wants the attention on him. A guy that doesn't seem like he wants to be out there. And we all just keep talking about him. And it's a distraction. We talk about cancers in the locker room. To me right now, Kayshon is a cancer. And I think a decision has to be made, man. If you don't want to play football, then pick up and leave.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What up, y'all? It's T-Bob from Snaps, your new favorite college football podcast on Volume Sports Network. And it's time to put on your game day gear again because college football Saturday is right around the corner because, well, it's fall. So every week it's right around the corner. And FanDuel wants you to get in on the action. So right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, y'all. $1,000. So let's say, I start a new account. Let's say I want to put $200 in. Use the promo code SNAPS. You put that all on one bet. If you lose, you get that money back in free bets that you can go win with, right? And so again, only bet what you're comfortable with, but free bets up to $1,000. And look, if you're anything like me, you're probably going to need some of that forgiveness, as I had a LSU same game parlay last week that involved Robbie Ashford under 150 passing yards. He threw for 337, but check it out. With the no sweat bet, I get to play with that money again. So download FanDuel, promo code SNAP. App is super easy to use. Great odds, great deals. That's why FanDuel's America's number one sports book. So again, download the app today. Promo code SNAPS. Get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in free bets. And let's bet on college football all season long. That's promo code SNAPS. So I will say this. I still think that, unfortunately, the time this season when LSU had the most eyeballs on them, his body language was absolutely awful. And that was against Florida State. It feels like since that moment, it has improved, right? He was out there celebrating with his teammates against Auburn this weekend. Like, it feels like the buy-in is kind of there. What is not there right now are the numbers. And they're really not there for any wide receivers for LSU. And we talked about it. This is probably never going to be an offense that's going to generate big numbers for any receivers. But, Aaron, one thing I did love hearing out of Brian Kelly in yesterday's press conference, and I'll pick your brain on this. As a quarterback, what's your reaction to this? Where Kelly basically said, look, we are far too conservative. Like, yep. I'm glad we haven't thrown any picks this year, but that's also kind of a red flag because we're not going for anything. Like, eventually we have to accept that mistakes will come, but that the greater good of the wins that we can get in going for these big plays will help. So, like, what to do to you as a quarterback? If you're Jaden Daniels and you've been trying to play so perfect and you hear your coach say, hey, man, let's take some shots. Let's start going for it a little bit.
Well, I think the issue with – well, first of all, you have thrown two picks. Garrett Nussmeier threw two of the worst picks I've ever seen in my life.
So, no, Jaden Daniels. He was talking about Jaden Daniels specifically.
Yes. I think the problem is Jaden's your best athlete on offense. Jaden's your best runner, and his instinct is protect the football, which is smart. And when things aren't there, their best plays have been when he turns up and runs the football. Like, when nothing's open down the field – him saying, hey, instead of me trying to force a ball in there for a potential big-time play, let me just pull it down and run the football, which has worked out more times than not. And I don't hate him doing it.
But you also look at
the receiving core, and it is a very, you know, we said at the beginning of the season, one of the most talented receiving cores in all the SEC with Malik Nabers, obviously had a rough first game on special teams. But he's playing great when it comes to just being a receiver, making some great plays. Jarae's playing great. Besh has had his moments there. Like, there are plenty of guys that can win one-on-one battles. I agree. Like, Jaden just needs to let it rip at times. He is playing a little bit cautious. He is playing to, get through my first read, maybe get to my second. If it's not there, I trust my legs more than my arm getting through the progression. So I think that will get better and better with time. It's like, you know, as a quarterback, the more you go back and watch the film and say, okay, you know, this play versus this coverage, this guy ended up being open. And you, the more times you see it, the more times your mind tells you, just trust it and get to it and just throw the football instead of, you know, essentially relying on his athleticism. So it will get better, but at the same time too, like, I don't want to tell him not to run the football. Like right now, that is the best part of their offense.
Exactly. And that's something, let's be clear. You're threading a needle here, right? I'm not saying like it's one all, because you don't want to take away from who he actually is. And that's what we've said from day one. And maybe it allows you to control the ball a little bit more this game. Maybe it allows you to, I was going to say control the kind of flow of the game, but Tennessee doesn't give a damn about really having the ball. They're just going to say, no, every time you give us the ball, we are just going to score. So look, Daniels, I do think if you're going to win this game though, Daniels does have to be drastically better. Like with his arm, he can still run the ball as many attempts as he has every game this year, but he's going to have to be drastically more effective when he does choose to throw, if you're going to beat Tennessee. Okay. Last homer thing here, before we move on. If I wanted to go full homer and craft an argument for LSU, first thing would be this: can Matt House put together a game plan for a Heupel and Hooker like he did Will Rogers and Mike Leach? If you look at Will Rogers' game log right now, against Memphis, 450 yards, 5 touchdowns. Against Arizona, 313 yards, 4 touchdowns. Against Bowling Green, 409 yards, 6 touchdowns. Against A&M, 329 and 3 touchdowns. Against LSU, 214, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. By far, not even close, his worst game of the year. And LSU's defense right now is actually pretty frisky, even with the busted coverages. So like, and to be clear, Matt House and Kelly gave credit to Auburn. They basically said, look, they had a completely different game plan than they thought we would, than we thought they would coming in. And that got us on our heels early on. So if I want to go homer, maybe House can line up more with what Heupel and Hooker are going to seek to do, and maybe they come up with something there. Maybe Jaden Daniels clicks in the same way Anthony Richardson did, where he threw for 30 more combined yards in this one game than he did the three previous, first two scores a year. And then here's the probably the best thing if you're trying to craft a homer argument, the line. The line is odd. It's a little stinky. Like I said, wait, you're telling me the team that just threw for 5 and gave up 330 to a quarterback who can't throw and is now playing Tennessee, the number one offense of the country, you're telling me that that game is -3 right now, open at -4, and the money came pouring in on LSU? That's a little head-scratching. Still, that's not exactly a great foundation to build this argument on. So, no, I do not expect LSU to win. But, hey, man, that's why you play the game. One thing to watch, both these teams right now, Aaron Murray, 1-2 in the SEC in terms of turnover margin. So, you know, kind of talking about both sides of my mouth. Need to be more risky, but also try to win that turnover battle. We'll see.
Well, I think thing for me, this thought on how LSU could find a way to win this football game, you gotta eliminate the explosives. Like Tennessee's built, you talk about Hendon Hooker with the deep ball. They're built on the quick screen, and then all of a sudden you come up and we're gonna take a shot, and all of a sudden it's a 60, 70, 80 yard touchdown, and it kind of deflates the defense. Like if Tennessee's going to score, like, let's be serious. Like, I don't care how good your defense is, Tennessee's going to get theirs. And you kind of have to get the rhythm of their offense. You have to figure out the tempo. It's a big adjustment defensively. But if you make them earn it, that's the best way to see if you can squeak out a turnover. That's the best way to see if you can win this football game. Don't make it a track meet. Because if you're going to make this thing a track meet, we saw it versus Florida.
A chance.
If that's the type of the game, Tennessee's going to eventually run away with it, just like they did versus the Gators. You need to make this low scoring. You need to make it be 10 to 15 play drives. You got to make this a game that's in the 20s and low 30s. Because if you get to mid to high 30s to 40s, you're not good enough on offense to keep up with what they can do on their side of the football on offense.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, Aaron, a lot of times, you know, this is just if you want to create an upset, somebody is probably going to have a breakout performance. That, like John Emery's maybe a good candidate for this, right? somebody who was the number one running back in the country coming out of high school for various academic kind of BS reasons, had to deal with a lengthy suspension. Finally back now, really started to flash in that Auburn game. Really your only thing you had going for you offensively. Maybe he builds on that. Again, these are all very flimsy foundations to be building upon. So I like Tennessee. We'll know more. I plan on watching a lot more Vol film this week. Coming up next here on Snaps, shout out, sub to the pod, like and subscribe if you're watching the video live. A story out of SMU about one of the hottest terms right now, Aaron, that the youth are talking about, and that's quiet quitting. As four different SMU players have chosen to leave the team four games in. They're saying, you know what? I don't think my future lies here in Dallas. I am going to leave the team, and then I plan to transfer after the season. Now there's transfer portal windows. It's after the year, so they have to wait. Aaron, what was your reaction when you saw this? It's a pretty good SMU team this year.
Yeah. No, it is. Listen, I'm torn on this. Like, I love the kids having the ability to kind of take control and make decisions like this, but I also hate the fact that, like, it's just so easy for guys to pick up and kind of leave their teammates in the dust. Like, once again, I'm going to sound like an old man here, but when you and I played, like, these were our brothers, man. These were your boys. These are the guys that you committed to, that you lived in the dorms with, you went to study hall with, you went to 5 a.m. workouts with, and you built that long-term bond. And it's not only just on the football field, but just like lifelong friends. Like, these are my best guys. Like, if I'm ever in a pickle, I know who I'm calling. It's the guys that I spent those 4 or 5 years with on campus. And to me, it's more upsetting that these guys aren't going to be able to experience that because of the roster transition we're seeing left and right, because of these guys essentially, you know, after four games picking up and leaving, and, you know, I will call it quitting on their football team. But then you throw in the fact too, that you understand that, like, hey man, these guys feel like it's not working out, that they don't want to waste a season, that this is the time that they have to make the decision. And they're going to essentially sit out the rest of the year, go to class, and then figure out what they want to do when the transfer portal does open back up. So once again, I'm torn on it. I'm more leaning towards the fact that I hate the fact that they're essentially quitting on their team, their brothers, and moving on. But I think we all have to accept the fact that this is the world we live in nowadays. Like, these kids are taking the power into their own hands. They think the grass is greener on the other side. And I think there's going to be a lot more bad that comes out of this, but they're young, they're stupid, and we'll see if they make the right decision.
I mean, it's, you know, it's tough. Like Joe Asai, or Holy Sai, excuse me, in the chat, maybe Holy Sai, my eyes are going bad, boys. I need glasses. I got AC joint problems. I'm having like a big midlife crisis this week. But anyway, he says, I just don't like it mid-season. And again, if you were raised when me and Aaron were, there's a chance you agree, right? Because my old man always raised me like, look, man, if you don't want to play something, like, you don't have to. But if you start the season, you're going to finish it. Now, unfortunately, NCAA rules, the four-game redshirt rule kind of changes that math, right? Because you got to get out of there by four games to maintain that year of eligibility. This is a bit more odd as well, Aaron, because like you said, it is a brotherhood in that locker room, right? Like, if you can't make out with your bros, who can you? And like, this is an SMU team that's going to be a pretty good team. It feels like they're 2-2 right now, but they're two losses. Like, that's one of my biggest takeaway of this story is like, whoa, SMU. Okay. Okay. Rhett Lashley, I see you, bro. They lost to Maryland by 7 and TCU by 8. Maryland and TCU look damn good in terms of like where they should be versus SMU. And then you look, okay, they're second in the ACC, in the AAC right now in points per game. They're first in total offense. They're first in passing. All right, man. And so the fact that you would leave a team having success is a bit more odd. But again, this is kind of what SMU gets. And I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean is they marketed themselves as a mercenary team this offseason. Yep. They channeled the spirit of the Pony Express, much like Lane Kiffin saying, hey, man, like Lane Kiffin, you know how he had the come to the SIP shirts? Now he has the transfer to the SIP shirts, which is just chef kiss genius. SMU is putting those same vibes out there. So if you do mercenary things, you get mercenary results. And that's exactly what this is. Players leaving to maintain that extra year for what is best for their personal career. And that's just what college football is going to be.
That's all it is right now.
More nowadays. Yeah.
Well, that And that's the world we live in. I think as fans, we have to understand that like these kids are out to for themselves. Like they're not, and not all of them. I don't want to say every player is like this, but I would say a lot of them are. We're going to continue to see this. Like they're out there to put themselves in the best situation, whether it's financially, which, you know, SMU, I think those guys are making like 30 plus K a year through their collective.
Hell so yeah, dude.
Hopefully they don't. Yeah. Hopefully they, you know, get some sort of refund on that. The collective I'm talking about, but these kids are out for themselves.
Pay that man his money, dude. Pay that money. That money. Dude. I don't care about. I don't give a damn about whatever rich Dallas real estate mogul is paying these four kids their 30K. I hope they fleece that man for everything he's worth, and then I hope he has to watch the Cowboys lose on Sunday. Okay, screw Dallas. Screw SMU boosters, dude. Screw the Cowboys.
Salty T-Bob over here. No, but listen, these kids are they're for them, man. It's all about their image and building their brand. It's not about team. And that was a weird part about like transitioning from college to the NFL. Like you go from college and you're in an NFL locker room. It's like that. Like, because it's more of a business, man. It's more transactional. And the roster turnover is crazy. I mean, your turnover roster essentially weekly throughout the season. And then there's a massive overhaul in the offseason. It's a brand new team the next year. And now that is what college football has come to. But it brings me to this point. We talked about it yesterday with this new trend of getting rid of coaches and before we even get to halfway through the season. In your mind, T-Bob, what's the difference?
Yeah.
If you can essentially get rid of a coach, an administration can essentially say, like, we're quitting on the team by getting rid of our head coach after 4 or 5 weeks. Why shouldn't the kid feel like, why can't I do that? If the administration's free to get rid of my head coach, why can't I just pick up and take my ball and move on after 4 or 5 games myself?
Preach. I mean, right? It's the same reason why the transfer portal exists. Why should coaches be able to just leave before a bowl game and go wherever and leave their players high and dry, but the players cannot? Like, you're right. It's the same logic. So it is what it is. The only thing I want to be careful about here is, like Logan Hayes on the chat says, SMU is going through it, but I don't know that they are. Only one of these guys was actually playing a lot. And like I said, I think they're actually going to be pretty good. I think a lot of them are transferring because they weren't playing as much as they wanted to. All right, Aaron Murray, it's time for a brand new game, and it's called Snap Judgments, okay? And that's where normally our excellent producer, Ryan Brumley, would read the question and we'll snap judge, but he is feeling a little under the weather today, so I will somehow take on even more responsibility and we'll read these questions. I know, guys. I know, chat.
Are you gonna pay
extra
for this?
Try not to be too impressed. Try better be right. I mean, where's my NIL? Oh, TurtleBox. Okay, never mind. Yeah, I guess I did get an NIL deal already. Turtle there box. You go. TurtleBox promo code snaps, baby. Let's go, dude. TurtleBoxAudio.com.
Hey, T-Bob. I took the TurtleBox out of the box, and my little man was like, and I was like, buddy, like, don't be scared of the TurtleBox. So I put on, you know, some Frozen song, and now he loves the TurtleBox. He thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So it's for awesome. all ages, the TurtleBox.
I'm telling you, I bump that, I bump when it's just me. I bump that Meg Ryan Fall playlist, which continues to hit day in and day out. And then when it's me and my kids roll around the neighborhood, I throw on that Disney Princess playlist, dude. It's freaking awesome. Yep. All right. Snap judgments. Cha-cha. Snap judgment, Aaron Murray. Who's better long-term? Oklahoma or Texas?
I think Texas is in a better position, man. You look at Oklahoma and they're not recruiting at the same clip they have in the past. Texas is, there's more money in Texas. The brand, you know, for how good Oklahoma's been the past, you know, 7-10 years and Texas has kind of been down. So the brand of Texas is still, I would say, far superior. So I am more bullish on Texas. I think both of them are honestly in a bad spot right now. Like they're, you know, and we've talked about like the Big 12 is great. Like the Big 12 is the most competitive conference in America right now. Like any given week, anyone can essentially beat anyone, but they're in the middle of the pack there. Like they're both 7-5, 8-4 teams this year. And we'll see Texas. Like you get Quinn Ewers back. Can they get some of the juice, you know, offensively? Once again, like we kind of got teased a little bit for the versus Alabama game. But yeah, man, like I think right now, as these both teams get ready to transition into the SEC, I would say Texas is more suited for long-term success inside the new conference.
I like yours. I like Arch Manning. I think that is a lot for Texas. But, Aaron Murray, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. And so, once again, we find ourselves supporting the concept of Texas rather than what Texas actually is. Even after they just got their ass beat by Texas Tech, and the coach of the Texas Tech locker room after the game says, we knew they were going to break, and they did. The problems that run through Texas are deep. And if we're using the past as an indicator of future results, I'm going with Oklahoma, man. And why? Because their entire past, not just recent history, their entire past is wildly more successful than is Texas's. Oklahoma has 7 national titles to Texas 4. Oklahoma has 7 Heisman winners to Texas 2. They have 82 consensus All-Americans to Texas's 61. They have 50 conference titles to Texas's 32. There is no area in which Texas is more successful. Oklahoma is the only program in college football history with 4 different coaches that have 100 wins, okay? So I know it feels bad here in the short term with Venables in the, just this last week, last couple of weeks, I should say, excuse me. But I do believe that Oklahoma will be better long-term than Texas simply because that's what 100 years of college football has taught us. So, well, we will see. All right, Aaron Murray, second on this list. Snap judgments. Better bet to win the Heisman, C.J. Stroud or literally anyone not named C.J. Stroud?
I'm going C.J., man, because I don't really see anyone else there in the country. You know, maybe Caleb Williams out there at USC is you know, people are going to want to continue to hype them up, which is deserving. You know, obviously they had the bad game versus Oregon State a couple weeks ago, but I don't think that necessarily hurts his chances. You know, Bryce winning it for back-to-back years, I mean, he would have to have some incredible season for that to happen, and I just don't see that going on right now. So he's not going to get voted. I don't see any defensive players getting voted. Our boy Stetson has been slagging, so he ain't going to get voted. Brock ain't going to get voted because he's a tight end. I'm just going through like the elite teams. Clemson doesn't really have anyone on that football team that's going to be in there. I just don't see anyone else, honestly. Like, please name someone in your mind, you know, that is going to be a legitimate candidate to win the Heisman. And C.J. Stroud is going to continue to put up stats. Their schedule is pretty cupcake. They got the game at Penn State. They got Michigan at home to finish the season, but that's really it. So you got a team that most likely is going to win the Big Ten, going to be in the playoffs. You're going to put up crazy stats. You've been balling out without your best receiver. Jackson Smith and Jigba has been pretty much banged up and not playing much the first part of the season. You get him back healthy. Once again, like, I don't know anyone else that is even any close to what he's going to be able to do. Like, there's no one else.
I know. And you know what, Aaron, the gambling gods support you. Because right now you go on FanDuel, you'll get Heisman odds. Stroud's plus 150. Second on the list is Caleb Williams at plus 500. Okay, so you're talking about being nearly 4 times, you know, him, Stroud having 4 times the odds of Williams. Third on the list is Bryce Young at plus 1,000. You're talking about nearly 5 times right there. So yeah, it's CJ Stroud. What sucks is like Ohio State is so boring to me, because they're like Alabama, but without even claiming the national title, right? Like, they're too good for anyone in their conference, but they're not good enough to win a national championship. And that's why they're worse, because you still have to watch them beat like Wisconsin, like 51-21. And it's super unexciting and not fun, but then they don't even reward their fans at the end of the day. Again, I am immune to Ohio State quarterback stats. It's just, it's insane. Hey. You see them every year.
You know what? I may actually try to find this on FanDuel right now, but someone that's really interesting and a team, because you always want to go to like what teams are in contention, because usually those guys are going to get more hype. They're going to get more TV time. Blake Corum, running back for Michigan, has had a hell of a season so far. 611 yards, 6.6 yard average, 10 touchdowns. And there's a team that has a great offensive line. They want to run the football. They know they're not a great throwing football team. And you look at Michigan's schedule too, and it's pretty easy. Same thing we talk about with Ohio State having somewhat of a cupcake schedule. Michigan's in the same boat. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
How about this? As you're talking about Michigan, as you're talking about Michigan,
I'm on it right now.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, okay.
So no. So Michigan's schedule at Indiana.
Now I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, we hit this delay thing. Okay, go ahead.
I'm taking it. All right. So they're at Indiana. That big opportunity to put some crazy stats. They get Penn State at home, and then Michigan State, Rutgers, Nebraska, Illinois. And then have to go on the road to Ohio State. So the same thing we talk about with CJ Stroud, like Michigan really does. They have two games on their schedule that obviously are big time moments for him. But if you want to take a risk on someone to possibly win, if you think Michigan can beat Ohio State at Ohio State, the reason they're going to win is because of him. So I may throw a couple bucks on him and see what his odds are.
Okay. I like that, dude. So the Heisman voters need to call a quorum to vote on quorum. Quorum, the minimum number of members of an assembly or society that must be present at any of its meetings to make the proceedings of that meeting valid. All right, next, snap judgment here. Let me get back to it. I just had to get that joke off. Awful joke. Okay, here we go. Better job, Aaron, Nebraska or Wisconsin?
I'm going to go Wisconsin on this one for a couple reasons. One, the Big Ten and the amount of money that they're going to be getting with these new TV deals or the new TV deal coming in. Like, you're going to have a lot of money to spend on facilities, on staff, on you yourself getting more money as a head coach, which is always great. So I think that's a big positive. And two, I think you can recruit better there at Wisconsin. You're closer to places like, you know, Chicago. I think the big issue we all have with Nebraska is like, where do they go to recruit? Do you go into Texas? You know, that's tough sledding right there. Like, where's your spot? So for those two reasons alone, the money in recruiting, I'm taking Wisconsin every day of the week.
I don't know what point my brain broke for Nebraska, Aaron, but I'm going Nebraska here. Okay. And I don't know if I'm memeing, but the thing is, like, I really actually do believe in the buy-in of Nebraska, right? And I'm talking about fans, financially, building new facilities. They just need the right guy. And there's only one name on that list, Aaron Murray, that you need. One name that you need to pay $90 million to. It's like Pulp Fiction, right? It's like when you call up the wolf, the fixer. You accidentally splattered the brains of a college football program all over the back of your car. Well, guess what? You call Matt Rhule. That's right, baby. Look at what he did at Temple, turning that program around. Look at what he did at Baylor, turning that program around. This man's third act is going to be addressed as a giant piece of corn. Matt Rhule is the man to fix Nebraska. Yeah, you heard me, Brum. I managed to work it into this show. I hope you're happy, because start the Matt Rhule hype train to Lincoln right now. It makes all the sense in the world. Save your program, Nebraska. Okay, this is your final chance, and Matt Rhule's the man to do it. $90 million. I'd pay him $100 million. I'd give him that Mel Tucker deal. $100 million might be much, but I would like, if it took a Mel Tucker deal to get him to Petrino the Panthers, I'd do that. Even though if you Petrino the Panthers, it's kind of like a character red flag where it's like, then I don't know if I actually want to hire you. It's like the classic thing. If like, whatever. I don't need to go into that tangent. All right, Aaron Murray. You got work to do. You have a great radio show, my friend. A huge thank you and shout out to everyone hanging out in the chat. I love seeing new faces and new people in here. Shout out Vader. Shout out Shadow Bearded, Brandon Pratt. And then we got, you know, David D, Bobby Hotep, Smiley, Kirby, Abar, T-Pat, a lot of y'all hanging out here. Greg, what's up, man? Everybody hanging out in here. We love it. So sub to the show, sub to the pod. Spread the word. Shout out Turtlebox. Shout out The Volume. Shout out FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code SNAPS. And we will see you tomorrow.
open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.